You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
Holly Randall Unfiltered is sponsored by Twisties. Twisties is the ultimate lesbian glamour erotica website. It is the website that I have shopped for the longest. I have produced some of my best content for them, and they are definitely your go-to place for beautifully shot, believable scenes between the hottest industry stars of today. So many of my guests that you've heard on the show, I have shot for Twisties. And so if you want to look up any of my guests' girl work, twisties.com is the place to go. Their Twisties treat of the month is the most carefully curated solo scenes and girl scenes that showcase the best and the brightest in the porn industry. So make sure that you support my show by supporting my sponsors, and please go and visit twisties.com. Hi, I'm Holly Randall, and welcome to my podcast, Holly Randall Unfiltered. This is a show about sex, the adult industry, and the people in it. I'm a 21-year veteran of this fascinating little industry, and as the eldest child of the trailblazing erotic photographer Suze Randall, you could say I grew up in it. So forget everything you think you know about porn, because this show is going to change your mind. My guests are some of the biggest names in the industry, and we unabashedly reveal the real behind-the-scenes stories. The funny, the inspiring, the tragic, and the bizarre. Everyone has an opinion about sex work, but few people actually listen to the sex workers. So sit back and prepare yourself for a podcast which is honest, raw, and unfiltered. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Holly Randall Unfiltered. I'm so excited to have somebody here who I haven't seen in a long time. He is one of my favorite male performers to work with. He is one of the top male porn stars. He's performed in more than 2,000 scenes, is an AVN Award winner and an Expeditors Award winner. He's known for his parodies and his Clark Kent good looks. Let's welcome to the show Ryan Dreller.
Oh, you're making me blush so much.
Oh, good. That's my intention. Yeah. I start at the beginning, I build you up, and then I like slowly break you down.
And then we're just going to chisel you down, take you off at the knees. They're new. Leave them alone.
Yeah, I know. I haven't seen. So I remember when you told me that you were going to be out for a while because you needed knee surgery. And I was like devastated because the women in the industry are very important, of course, but like the guys, like we need you. We need solid male performers that are good looking, have a good body, aren't creepy, aren't weird, and can remember their lines. And you were all of those things, and then you left.
Which is so fun, because even when I got in, all of those things were why they couldn't cast me in so many various things.
Really?
Yeah, in 08, that was hard to like pitch. I had to be taken advantage of because it was too realistic. And at the time, I mean, that was the days of like everybody kind of looked a little bit like a troll so that everybody watching porn could either totally remove them or be like, well, if he can get the girl, then I can get the girl.
Ah, so you were too distracted. Your good looks were too distracting.
Yeah, it was the guy, as it was pitched to me, it's like if I walked into the bar and random guy and I were going after the same girl, not obviously, but in his mind, obviously I was getting the girl. So
really?
they couldn't really get behind it. So like, yeah, I had to, it was a lot of MILF stuff, and it was a lot of like, Ryan, you did not clean the pool enough. You're going to have to work this off.
Yeah. So were you like cast as a submissive, not a submissive, but like in a more submissive
role?
Yeah.
I mean, it was like I said, it's like, I didn't make the first move. I was very much so kind of taken advantage of.
Right.
Very, you know, it was the stepbrother or the stepson and the, like I said, the pool boy or whoever that just wasn't doing right.
Have you transitioned to stepfather yet, or are you still in the stepson range?
Oh, no. I've definitely been I've been playing stepfather and teacher and everything for years.
Like, okay. Yeah. So you, cause like there's that one point where you're like, okay, this person cannot no longer realistically be the stepson unless you're Robbie Echo and then you can be the stepson forever.
Right. Oh, him, Tyler so Nixon, young. A couple.
Oh of yeah. Tyler Nixon like, will be a stepson forever. You will right. never be the stepdad.
No, no. Yeah. I mean, I always laughed when they tried to make me the stepson or the college kid or whatever. Cause like, I've looked like this since I was like 17, 18.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there's more gray in the beard, but like...
I was going to say, you look exactly the same.
Oh, yeah. No, there's a picture. Oh, I'll be posting because I turned 40 in like 2 weeks. And I've got a picture that I took 10 years ago when I was back in Colorado, which I was just in Colorado last week. And I'm like mowing the lawn and I sent a picture to my now wife. And I was like, we should start... If we keep talking about various things. Like, we'll start a lawn mowing business with just... Greek Adonis guys.
Yeah.
Just mow your lawn and make you lemonade or whatever.
Yeah.
Probably side hustle something.
But, right.
But it was one of those kind of like, even my wife pulled up, she's just like, you look the same as when we started 10 years ago. And then she was looking at like my high school senior photo. And I was like, that's why I never had a fake ID.
Yeah.
It just.
That's crazy.
So I've always looked older, but.
She's not complaining.
No.
Obviously.
No.
Yeah. That's funny. So, yeah. How do you drink a lot of water? Is that the secret?
I drink a lot of water. I should look like I'm 90 because for 10 years I lived in the Keys, chain smoking Marlboro Reds on a boat.
Really?
I refused to wear sunscreen, even though I like beat it into the kids that were at my camp's head. It was like, wear sunscreen, drink water, wear shoes. And yeah, like a pack or five a day of Marlboro Reds.
So you're just
Reds.
One of those fucking assholes that just has great genes. You're like the J-Lo of men. Apparently. Like J-Lo looks exactly the same. She's 50.
Yeah, yeah, apparently. I mean, now I'm on two handfuls, like 40 vitamins a day. Mm-hmm. And it's like the wife's got me doing that one.
Yeah.
But I drink a ton of water. I stopped drinking sodas in like high school. Unless mm-hmm. it's with like rum. Mm.
Fair enough.
But yeah, that's really about it. So
you kind of glazed over the boys in your camp. So for those of you who don't know, Ryan Driller was a Boy Scout leader, which I don't know why I find that so hilarious.
So many do.
It's just like that transition from like Boy Scout leader, because a Boy Scout is, you know, we usually use that term as somebody who's like perfect and follows all the rules and is like on the straight and narrow and doesn't end up in the porn industry.
And then... you hang out with the Boy Scouts. So my camp was co-ed because it was 14 and up. Uh-huh. One of the venture programs, they called it.
Right.
So there were 75 staff members with me working at this thing, co-ed, just outside Key West. So yeah, from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. at night, we were Johnny Boy Scout. You didn't hear us cuss. We didn't talk about anything that wouldn't be in a G-rated like Disney cartoon. And at 10:05, there was a parade of cars that went down to the bars. We closed down the bars every night. We found island fantasies, if you will. Or we were the island fantasy. I mean, on my 21st, well, the day before my 21st birthday, we drank the bar out of beer.
Wow.
Branded ourselves with cigarettes because it was a smart idea. It was the mark of our,
oh my God.
Our camp. And then I actually got my tattoo the next day. We took the camp school bus to the tattoo parlor. After going to the bar on my 21st birthday, tattooed the island that I ran on my ankle with our kind of like our little logo.
And do you still have that tattoo?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it fucks with so many people. Like I regularly get a text message. I was just at a wedding for one of my guys in yeah. Estes Park. And a couple of guys were just like, I can't watch porn anymore. And even when I think I'm safe because there's no face in it, that tattoo shows up.
And they know it's you.
You're like, ah!
Yeah. I know that feeling. I'm the same. That's why I don't honestly really ever watch porn just because I'm so jaded. But ever if I get the inkling to, it's got to be people I don't know.
Right.
And I've totally had that situation where I'm watching a scene. I'm like, okay, this looks hot. I don't know this girl. Da 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 da. You don't see the guy's face. And then like the guy's face comes in. And it's like fucking Ryan McClane. I'm like, God fucking damn it. I'm like, I'm done. I'm done. I can't. Like this isn't working.
Yeah.
So anime all the way.
Well, German. It seems to be pretty safe. Yeah.
So how did you get into the adult industry? How'd you go from Boy Scout leader to swanky porn star?
I always say just one day walking down the street, line shown from the mountain, highlighted my crotch and there was a voice that just said, you should be in film. Put that on camera.
It was a calling from the Lord above.
It was a calling. It was a weird situation. So I left the camp and I say we're retired. Mm-hmm. It needed new blood. I needed to change and get out. Broke up with the girlfriend that I moved from the camp to Colorado and went south real fast. So I kind of went back to my old man whore ways and had three random hookups that were like, that you should be doing that on film.
Really?
Which I was like, that's a weird thing to say, but oddly something I always say, I think every boy has thought about.
Yeah.
Like watching it, just like, I want to do that. I would do that.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Trust me, from the DMs that flood my fucking social media platforms,
I probably have three emails this morning. They were like, help me get into the industry.
Yeah.
I'm not even responding.
Yeah.
Not even reading.
Yeah.
I would say the only semi-practice I had was at that camp. There wasn't really any privacy. So you kind of had to like find a random place to go hook up with my girlfriend, or I was on the beach with whatever girl I picked up at the bar that night. So there probably could have been an audience, or at least I had to be not worried about it.
Mm-hmm. And you couldn't be shy.
Yeah. Yeah. Couldn't really be shy. Yeah. So when I left the camp, one of the things I definitely noticed was I'm always way more successful doing what I want to do, what I enjoy doing. And being from Littleton, Colorado, everyone was like, you have to go to college. You have to get that 9-to-5 job, the 2.4 kids, white picket fence, that whole thing. And I was never that person to begin with. Mm-hmm. The camp was an example of that. So I was like, well, I've always thought about it. It's weird that these three random girls all told me I should be doing that. And I was like, I have no idea what I'm going to do right now anyway. Maybe we'll look into it. We'll see if it's even a possibility. I doubt anything is going to work. Like that's probably not going to happen. Mm-hmm. So I started looking up on Craigslist. I mean, I started like Googling everything and I'm like reaching out, sending out stuff to Hustler and Naughty America and Vivid and those ones that I recognize the name to. But yeah, it was like a Craigslist ad that I responded to.
So did those bigger brands never got back to you?
No.
Okay.
No, but I'm sure because I was like one of the DMs and emails and everything you and I were just talking about.
Did you send a picture of yourself?
I did. And funny enough, the one I sent to Naughty America went to, I'm sure the statute of limitations, everything should be done with this now, but Naughty Laura D used to be the executive producer there. And I sent it to her with whatever it was, probably some a little bit cheesy. Like I'm insatiable. So like, I've got an insatiable appetite for sex. I'm always horny. Quickie is not in my vocabulary, so I'm sure that at least should be good if you want to take a chance. And I guess I emailed her right before she had a big party because she liked what she read and saw, was intrigued by it, but she used to throw these extravagant parties, and I think it was like her 80s party in San Diego that weekend. So the email got lost. I ended up running into her like in an event in New York once, and we kind of started dating for like 2.5 years. It was right as she left Naughty America.
Okay.
But she hooked me up with Lisa Ann and her agency. They gave me a shot with Naughty at that time, even though I'd already been performing it out here. And then she like found that email buried from years before. And she was like, oh my God, I was going to reach out to you.
Wow.
That was before I had officially the Ryan Driller name.
Right, right. Okay.
So it was like coming from my real email,
Yeah,
address.
Yeah.
But yeah, so none of them had really gotten back. And I just responded to like Craigslist ads, and some of them were creepy, weird,
I'm sure,
terrible ones, and other ones were going directions I wasn't down with. And then,
right,
I mean, that was not one of the first ones, but like I responded to one where I showed up at a guy's house and was shooting straight scenes in Denver. And then there was a like a talent scout, and I went in and met with him. He's like, yeah, and I got guys that work for Naughty America and for Hustler and all this. He's like, but the real money's in gay porn, and this is where you get your start. And I was like, well, I'm not gay, and I've been a swimmer. I've been around guys. Like, I've lived in Key West. I've had opportunities.
Yeah.
I'm not wired that way.
Yeah.
And he was like, you don't understand. They have DVDs playing everywhere. They give you Viagra, all that. And I was like, okay, still not wired that way. Still don't buy on it.
Yeah.
Let me chill. So I chilled for like 7 months and I kept responding to other ads and reaching out. But at the same time, because he had shown me a handful of these guys and said, this is where you get your start. I actually did jump onto a couple of the tube sites at the time. I don't know if Pornhub was actually around.
Okay.
But whatever it was, I went through a couple of them and I picked like 15 guys that I saw regularly on there.
Uh-huh.
And I just kept going down what I could find in their history and their catalog.
Okay.
And of that, about a dozen of them did trace back to various gay porn sites.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe just a solo or maybe receiving a blowjob or a massage, but they did track back to those sites. And I was like, all right, but there's still the other three that didn't. So we're just going to keep going on. And then that talent scout got back to me. He was like, okay, here's the deal. There's a company in San Francisco. They shoot in Napa, fly you out for a week. They're offering, they want one solo, one receive a massage, and one receive a blowjob. Mm-hmm. And the pay is $7,000.
That's a lot.
It's a lot. And I was like, dude, I can barely come from a blowjob to begin with. I'm not wired that way. He was like, just, they'll give you the Viagra or Cialis when you walk on set. They're very versed to it. Not to mention there's this magic thing called editing.
Yeah.
So as long as you can get hard for the 20 minutes they need, you can finish off yourself and then we'll just edit it in.
I was like,
I don't know, but we'll give it a shot.
Okay.
So I went out, I shot, I did remarkably well, ended up picking up a top scene, and I guess you kind of say the history kind of built itself because they kept flying me out. Shishi LaRue caught on to me. She put me on her exclusive contract. So I was a top only for like a year, making stupid money per scene.
Right.
Like I had a Vivid Girl just like, fuck you, dude. And I was like, all right, but I only shoot six scenes a year.
Yeah.
Like that's my contract. I'm like, yes, I have medical, dental. They put me on parade floats and I get.
They give you medical and dental insurance?
Yeah, because it was full time. Like it was a monthly stipend that came.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So it's like, here's your six scenes divided up over 12 months. You're kind of on call.
Yeah.
We'll obviously pay you more if you come in for the live shows. And then we're also going to kind of send you out for like the pride parades all around the country. We got you this. We're going to be like the face of Swiss Navy Lube and then doing like feature dancing gigs.
Mm-hmm.
It was like straight white boy. I look like a monkey fucking a coconut trying to dance. And they were like, as long as you just rub yourself and stand up on that box, like you're good. Like nobody cares. You can do no wrong. And I was like,
dude, I can't tell you how many like brand new girls that I've had to shoot a strip tease with who are like, I can't dance. I'm like, just sway your hips and rub yourself. Like,
right.
That's just do that.
My favorite clubs are the ones that had like a shower waterfall because I could just stand under that just like I was giving myself a shower. I got in trouble at one club because I never got up on a box to dance. And I didn't have to like strip. Like I just came out in underwear or wore like a bandana tied around or whatever.
Right.
But yeah, one of the bartenders or bar managers came up and he was just like, you haven't gotten up there and danced. We need you. And I was just like, okay, you've got four guys here tonight. I haven't paid for one drink and I've made sure to bring up like your customers to buy me drinks as opposed to just getting the free ones like the other guys are getting. I'm like, your local boys are kind of pissed that there's a couple of us porn people here because we kind of steal their thunder. So you're paying me a stupid amount to be here for the night. Everybody that asked for one of like the private dancers, lap dancers, whatever, it's like, I hand it off to one of your local boys. They go into the back. I'm like, these guys are buying the drinks. It's like, I'm not dancing, but I am hosting this whole party. It's like, everybody's having fun. And he was like, I'm like, your bartender's making money because they're not giving out free drinks to me and the other three guys.
Yeah.
These guys are all having fun with all the guys that are here. We're actually having time to hang out and talk. I was like, they're like, oh, okay. We kind of dig that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, nobody wants to watch me dance. So we're good. But the other Craigslist ads I answered that were for straight were like American Bukkake. Fuck a fan.
Yeah.
For Bang Bros.
Yeah.
And those things, they'd be up for like 30 seconds because 100 guys would like apply to them and they'd slip in. But Porno Dan and Jim Powers, they responded. They got me in. I remember walking into the Bukkake and they were like, ooh, no. Like,
really?
They were like, no. I mean, we're glad you get hard and you did that, but don't ever, no. but we're going to bring you in for the Fuck a Fan. We're going to bring you in for our Playboy TV stuff, for our Club Jenna stuff. We're going to cheat you on mm-hmm. all this stuff.
They're you were too good for Bukkake.
Yeah. They were
Is
like,
that what they were trying to say?
They were like, yeah, they're like, there's you and then there's all the guys you kind of expect to be hanging out in this alley that we're at anyway.
Can you explain to our listeners, because not everybody knows the porn lingo, what a bukkake is?
So the bukkake, the ones, the American bukkake in particular, was they got 50 random guys off Craigslist that all had to go to, what was it, AIM at the time?
Yeah, AIM.
AIM testing.
Get their STD test.
Get their STD test. And they all jerked off onto one girl's face. Mm-hmm. And the girl essentially did like a strip tease, and she was right there in the center. And I think a couple of the guys had been approved for her to blow
right
for a minute or two to kind of give a little bit more.
Yeah.
And then after that, it was, well, I guess there was actually more than 50 guys, but the first 50 guys to pop were the ones that got paid.
Oh, so there's a contest.
Kind of a contest.
Wow.
Because some of these guys couldn't get hard. No, some of them couldn't.
You'll be sitting there forever if you wait for like the last. Oh my God, somebody should do a movie called like The Last Bukkake Guy.
And it's which just was like pretty much me. If you remember some of my early days, even with you, like it took me forever to come. Like,
I don't remember.
I mean, it could have just been in my head. Was this like, I feel so bad. This is taking forever. And everybody just wants to be done with the day.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
But yeah, I think I was guy number like 48, 47.
Oh, wow. So you just made the cutoff.
Just made the cutoff. But they were like, you're hard. You can do this. And at least you were hard the whole time. Like you had no problem with that.
Yeah.
But no, you should be actually performing, not just jerking off with. Half of these guys are in masks. Not that anybody's looking at their face anyway, but
yeah. Don't they like cut their face off anyhow?
A lot of them. Yeah. But if they pan through the crowd,
yeah,
you can kind of see it. So,
and they're all wearing shoes.
Oh, they're all wearing. Oh, well,
you got to wear shoes, right? Cause there's like a lot. Who's to clean up after that? That's my question.
You know, some PA,
like what sad PA has to clean up all that cum from 50 guys. And they better have a shower on set. Do they have a shower on set? Please tell me they had a shower on set.
It was the one over right next to the airport. Well, I can't even think of the name of it, but it was the one with the guy with the sword.
The guy with the, was that the place that got
Valjean or something? Not.
That wasn't the place that got burned down, right? And the guy got killed. No.
I mean, it was the guy with the sword that killed a guy there, and then there was the standoff on the cliff face.
That wasn't the guy with the wolf dog.
I don't remember there ever being a dog there. I just remember being kind of like a really beat up warehouse right next to Van Nuys Airport.
So no shower?
There might have been like one shower.
Okay, because I'm just thinking that the poor girl, like after taking a load from 50 guys, like baby wipes are not going to do the job.
No.
Got to give that girl a shower.
No, yeah.
Like you really, I got to consider that actually. We had like a Mind Geek summit and one of the topics was locations without showers. Like that has to be taken into consideration. If it's a location without a shower and it's like an anal scene, like you can't book that place.
No.
Which fair enough, I get that, but as a producer, finding locations is the hardest part of my job.
Yeah.
Especially in line with like what the company wants. So they don't always have showers. It's kind of a struggle. I guess you could come like with one of those camp showers.
Yeah. I mean, and there's some locations I've gone to that have showers. You're like, I'm good. I know I'm nasty as fuck right now, but I think it looks like the cause and cure for a lot of stuff is in that shower. And I think I'm better off. I'll do a hose outside and I can make it home. I got towels in the car to line my seats.
Oh my God. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick commercial break. And then when we come back, we're going to talk more about Ryan's career. We're going to talk about what it's like being married to what we call a civilian woman, which is somebody who's not in the adult industry. How does that work? And so much more. So hang tight. We'll see you back in 1 second. All right. So tell us about, we all know Adam and Eve is the one-stop shop for everything sexy. And now with my code Holly, you can get any one item for 50% off plus 10 free gifts. And you'll even get free shipping. So spice up your sex life at adamandeve.com, but only if you use code Holly. Oh, your first like straight mainstream scene that you did. Not the Bukkake. I guess that's technically the Bukkake.
I mean, that's the first time I like came on a girl.
On a girl in the scene. Okay. So
yeah, there was no touching interaction. But
where was, okay, what was the first scene where it was just you and another woman?
You know, the first one was, it was a site and it was the carrot that some of the gay sites gave.
Okay.
So it's a site that was called Straight Guys for Gay Eyes.
Okay.
So it's kind of a lot like the new See Him Fuck, where it's a straight scene, but it's way more focused on the guy.
On the guy. Okay.
So yeah, that was actually my first one. And that one still kind of pops up everywhere. It was with this girl, Ricky White. I mean, it was a weird situation on that one just because it was like, I talked to the company. I was coming in for a massage and a jerk off. And then they're like, you know, if you can do that at the end of the week, we'll give you this straight scene. You get to shoot with a girl. They're like, yeah. Go into this website. And it was one of the agencies. And they're like, pick three girls that you'd want. And I was like, I don't care. Like, I'm just happy to do it. But like, I'm not ordering dinner. Like, come on. You choose for me. Like, whatever. So that was the first one there. But, and it was super easy because, and like I said, because it was focused, I guess, on me. Like, it was a totally different experience than like the first one I did. First, like, real one was, what do they call it? Fuck Team 5 for Bang. Is that the reality or Bang Bros? Mm. And they picked me off of Craigslist. I responded to the ad, and three girls running around town, and they were kind of like the setup was like they were running around town and they'd pick up a guy and all three of them would have sex with him and then they'd just cast him aside. Mm-hmm. So they picked me up. They had a limo that they were running around and the limo driver was one of the talent. Like, he was the last guy that they picked up in their situation. But they picked me up in this limo off of Ventura and like Whitsett. And we drove around for a minute, them all kind of hyping up and teasing. Super hot in the middle of the summer in a limo with three people.
Oh my God, dude.
Old school lights.
I shot a fucking girl scene with Ivy Wolf and, what was the girl's name? Fuck. I forget the girl's name. Lily something. At least I think it was Ivy Wolf. I think it was. Anyways, and it was in a limo in the summer. And yeah, it was horrible.
Yeah.
They were drenched afterwards.
Oh, we were all drenched.
It was awful.
And that
I hate shooting in cars, by the way. It's the worst.
No. Yeah. I mean, I remember having sex in cars in high school and being like, this is terrible. I can't wait to have sex like in a real bed.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Not be jammed in here.
Yeah.
And now there's not just, it was Penny Flame, Jessica Candy, and Jessica Lynn were the three girls. The director guy was in there. Sound, like I said, all the lights. So like, we're just crammed in this thing. And like,
and you can't run the air conditioning while you're filming because of the sound.
No.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Couldn't do anything. Not that the air conditioning could have done anything with all of us on top of one another. And I mean, we did all right, but like, it was getting down to a point where it's like, all right, time to come. And I was taking so long that it was, Penny Flame had kind of like nudged Jessica Candy to say it. She was just like, all right, it's going to be a contest to see who can come first, and loser, whatever is going to happen. And like, by the skin of my teeth, I came, and then they dumped me out in the parking lot in this Ralph's or Pavilions or whatever it was, like grocery store parking lot, middle of the day, naked. And then, you know, took off, and they went 20 feet, cut the cameras. And I was like, dude, get in the car and get dressed right now. All right. And we'll go back to the house and we'll pay you and be good. So
I am not for that gorilla style of shooting. That I've had clients try to get me like to do like hitchhiking scenes on the street or like any like non-nude stuff, but out in like a public place. And I'm like, mm-mm.
Yeah,
I'm only working in a controlled space because like I've had fucking run-ins with the cops and shit, and I'm not getting into that.
Yeah, no, I've done so many where like, yeah, they picked us up on the side of the road, or it was that kind of like setup and whatnot. Only a couple times has been like in the car actually driving around town.
Yeah.
But it's always kind of like, oh, pick up. And then we're back at Standard House number 4 in the valley that everybody shoots at.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, you said that like you used to take a long time to come. Do you feel like you've over, overcome that? Sorry.
Yeah, no, there's a couple.
And like, how do you manage that? Because that's the thing that like, that's one of the struggles with being a male performer. It's not just about, because guys are like, oh, I could stay hard all day. I'm like, it's not just that.
No.
You have to come on cue.
Yeah.
That's not easy.
No, it's not easy. That's the hardest part. Because it is like, you fight the urge to come for 20, 40, an hour, three mm-hmm. hours, depending on like what the scene is, what's going on with it, if it's, how are they shooting it? Which is awesome and not at the same time. And then to tell your body like, okay,
now
this is for real, not for play anymore. Go for it. Everybody's like, hold on. No, we've been blocking this off. Like we're done. Like we're just chilling. So
it's like the boy who cried wolf.
Yeah. So it's like, there's
Venus just doesn't believe you.
It's like, you're a liar. You even just faked it for that softcore one over there. No. We're not falling for that again. But yeah, so it's something that kind of depends on the situation. There's a lot where a couple of people work with now, even they kind of know, and they're in the same boat as ex-performers or performers themselves, where they know it's kind of like, okay, he's going to take 2 minutes, lie down just to kind of like cool, let the blood come back out of his legs, kind of catch his breath again, and then we'll be good to go and we're mm-hmm. done. Mm-hmm. But virtual reality was a lot of the training.
Oh, you fell asleep
once
on Bunny Colby's scene.
Did she tell you?
Yes, she did on the podcast.
Okay, so
I forgot that
was. Yeah, that is the one time that has ever happened. Woke myself up snoring when it happened.
But I mean, you were still hard. That's pretty fucking amazing.
Oh, I've had a lot of sex in my sleep, apparently, allegedly. I have been told. But Bunny has one of the most soothing, relaxing voices.
She does have a very soft voice.
She does. And the setup for it was like, I mean, granted, we're in this house that I shot at like, I mean, I shot 10 scenes there in like 2 months, and then the house just disappeared. Mm-hmm. But the bed was really comfortable, and the whole setup was like, I was in visiting from out of town, and she kind of set up like, I hope you're really enjoying your vacation, but just this soft, gentle touch as I'm lying on my back on this bed. And she's like, it felt great, but at the same time, it was just like, oh, this is so nice. And then I was like, oh, Jesus. And the whole crew who's behind my head with the camera, like right there, they were just like, oh, I feel so bad, because I've heard stories of performers falling asleep during like various scenes, even non-VR scenes. And I was like, no, like I would never do that. And it happened.
That's okay.
But yeah.
We forgive you.
Yeah. I was like, I felt so bad, but at least I was still hard for it. But yeah, it was the virtual reality. Like I had my training having to be dead silent from before anyway. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't have sex in a tent mm-hmm. 20 yards from or 20 feet from youth, at least 14 to 20.
Right, Boy Scouts.
Yeah.
Right, gotcha.
Yeah.
So you learn how to be sneaky on the down low.
Yeah, so the sneaky, hold your breath. I'm a swimmer. I can hold my breath, breathe through my ears, whatever kind of joke can come up with there. But yeah, I was doing that. And then because a lot of the old school VR was no hands, no sound, no nothing. So I've always known like where a lot of like the good spots on me were to kind of like trigger mm-hmm. and how to focus on that, or adversely how to like remove that spot from being triggered so that I could last longer.
Right.
So kind of learning how to come on command, or not learning how to come on command, but not like hold up 20, 30 minutes mm-hmm. trying to come mm-hmm. was like, okay, if we kind of move this way and figure that, and we just focus on that one spot there, like we know we're good to go.
Yeah.
So that helps a lot.
It's all about knowing your body.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's talk about your wife.
Yeah.
You are married to, as I mentioned before, what we call a civilian, which is somebody who doesn't work in the adult industry. And a lot of people have, first of all, a hard time wrapping their head around the idea that somebody who has sex for a living could have a relationship with anybody, whether it be somebody outside of the industry or another person in the industry. So how does that dynamic work for you two?
Magic. No idea. Because, it was always a challenge before I met her with people, like you said, inside, outside the industry. I think natural human mm-hmm. nature is territory. Yeah. Animal instincts are still going to be territorial. But while she is a civilian, I say she is civilian light.
Civilian light.
So while we are very much so monogamous, she works in reality TV. So by doing that, she knows, you know, it's not like I was flirting with Lisa Ann. And then it was like, well, we should just roll the camera and do this. You're like, let's go. It's like, I didn't pick her up or anything like that. Like, you hire me. I show up to a set. And it's like, by the way, today you're with Lisa Ann and Brett Rossi. And it's going to be over here in this barn stable. And make it look good. Which is kind of like what she's doing with Love Island.
Oh, is that what she's working on?
Yeah, it's one of the ones she's working on. So
yeah, I mean, anybody who's worked in reality TV, my like short stint in it for my Playboy TV show was like, none of that shit's real.
Yeah, I mean, it's real. It's just
scripted. Scripted reality.
It's kind of nudged in the right direction.
Right.
It's like, we know how to do it. There was an awesome, the first season was awesome. Scripted show, fully scripted, but it was from one of the original producers of The Bachelor. She wrote it, and it was called Unreal. So you kind of saw the producers getting in like the Bachelor contestants' ears. And just like, oh yeah, I can't believe like that girl's talking shit. And it's just like, she was? And goes up, just flips a table. And it's just like, oh, because they knew how to like get in people's head to kind of do that. But otherwise, like, I mean, for instance, like I met my wife when she put me on Millionaire Matchmaker.
So, oh, that's how you guys met?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, she really went through and got the types that the millionaire was looking to date, and knew kind of like personalities and interviewed all of us. So she really was playing matchmaker. But like in my episode, I walk in and the girl that they were trying to pair me up with didn't know if she wanted to be with a guy or a girl.
Okay.
She'd been really burned by the ex-husband or boyfriend, whatever he was, and remembers kind of fondly her time with women in college. So when they had us do introductions, they were like, yeah, it's going to be him and her. We can, like, I just know it's going to be those two. If she goes for a guy. And as soon as I walked up, I could just tell it was like, oh, you don't want, you don't want a guy. Like, like, you're good. It was a pleasure. I hope you enjoy the rest of the party.
Yeah.
Like, I'll let you meet everybody else. Cause there's 20 of us here to meet you. And, and I dipped over to the side and continued to flirt with my now wife.
Wow.
Not when we started, though. It took a couple of years because that was, I left that weekend for New York where I met Nadia Laura D. And that whole thing started for like 2 years. And my wife met someone
else
kind of right there that she started seeing. So,
right.
So it was kind of a perfect storm, but that was kind of where it happened. But yeah, so it was like the reality.
So how, yeah, I mean, so just basically take me through like how, you know, I mean, when you guys first started dating, you were doing porn. Was she kind of like, okay, like, did she know what she was getting into when she first started? And was it rough at the beginning?
No, because when we started hanging out before Laura and I broke up. And, well, no, I'm sorry, we didn't start. Like, we were hanging out with mutual friends. And there wasn't really any flirting, but I think we were both kind of on each other's radars. So she, my wife, was leaving to go visit another guy she was kind of seeing. And Laura and I had just broken up. Like, my friend had kind of dropped that bomb on my wife. And she was like, my wife was just kind of like, well, fuck. All right. And I was like, well, good. Okay. She's gone for a couple of weeks at least. I'm going to go enjoy being newly single fully for a couple weeks and kind of chill and just kind of see. It was like, I'm not looking to get in a relationship. So my wife got back into town and she sent out like a tweet. I didn't even have her number, but with the group that we were hanging out with, she sent out a tweet. She was like, all right, I'm still on overseas time. Who wants to go grab a drink? And I just wrapped babes.com was like brand new. And I was shooting 2 a days for them, like 5 days a week, just so they could stockpile content.
Right.
So I was leaving way out in the valley, like Simi Valley area, And Ed saw the tweet and was just like, oh, she's back. Oh, she's a drink. Yeah, I'll come have a drink. Like, what's up? I was like, yo, me, what's up? So
was there a shower at the location?
There was a shower at the location. Okay. I did take a shower. Yeah. So we met up at a local bar that we always hung out at and had a drink and just hung out talking. And she was like, all right, well, this is happening. We're not telling anybody. This is just a booty call situation. Because she knew what she was getting into. Mm-hmm. She didn't know it was just coming from set that day. Mm-hmm. So we were booty calls for, and I was like, that's fine. Not looking for a relationship. Just got out of one. Not looking for any of that. I'm going to have some fun. So she texted and just BC, like Naked Tuesday. What's up? Let's go do something. I was like, yeah, I can meet up later. I got work today. And she's like, oh, you probably don't want to. You probably don't want to then. I was just like, I don't think you understand. I'm 10 times more horny when I leave work. Like,
yeah.
If that was a thing, you and I would never have hooked up. Like, not, you yeah, know, yeah, just yeah. Every time we've hooked up.
She figured you could, like, you could only go once a day.
Right. But I was like, no, when I leave set, because I just teased myself for however long, like, yeah, I still came, but it was still a tease. Like, yeah. No,
and it's like, it's fun. Work. You got to open up to camera. You got to stop for lighting positions. You got to, like, not, like, eat all of her makeup off.
Right.
It's work.
Right. My job is to be Vanna White, make mm-hmm. the girl look good and show her off.
Yes.
Doing
yes.
everything. So now I want to get mine. So, yeah. So I told her, I was like, oh, no. Every time we've hooked up, I have also worked that day. I was like, I've always showered and everything. She was like, she was like, oh, okay, good. Cool. This is going to work. So we just kept going. And at first she did admit that she started watching some of my stuff. Mm-hmm. When we first started, I had just been cast as Christian Grey mm-hmm. in that parody that mm-hmm. Universal took down.
Yeah, I was like, I remember that not happening because...
Oh, it happened. It went live. I have a couple of theories as to what happened. Which is a fun story too. But she was reading the book and she burned the book. Uh-huh. She's like, I now can't get past that I'm seeing you as that person, but that's not me that's with him in that book. And okay, I just can't look at it.
Right.
So now it's just one of those like, Della, like, heading off to work. She's like, cool. Don't want to know the details. Mm-hmm. She's fine. But she's come to AVN. She's come to Exotica's.
So do you guys still have that situation where, like, you go and you do a scene and you don't talk about it?
Yeah. I mean, I can talk. I can talk about it. I can let her know. And, like, there's times if somebody calls me, like, hey, just want to let you know my test just came back with gonorrhea. It's mm-hmm. always like, of course, let her know.
She's right.
Like, all right, fuck. But
yeah.
Part of the nature.
Right.
But at the same time, like, I can't sit down and watch my scenes.
Yeah.
Like, we're not sitting down and popping in.
Right. Right.
House, volume, whatever.
Right. So it's very much like a job. And then you come back and then you're with her. Yeah. I mean, I could imagine that you would come home. I mean, I guess it's not really the same for me, but sort of the same for me. Like, when I do a shoot, mm-hmm. you know, I'll come home and my husband will be like, how was your day? And I won't be like, oh, man, like, it was great. First, like, I shot blowjob and then there was, like, the doggy, and then like she was really into it. I'll be like, oh, it was fine. And then, but if there's like a funny story to tell, you know, I'd be like, oh my God, this happened. The bed broke. Like, you won't believe. Like,
yeah.
Then obviously I'm going to tell them that story.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, if it's something, like, if it was a particularly rough day for whatever various reason, like, I was like, oh, yeah, no, super long day. We were out in this, it was supposed to be a farm for Justice League, but it was a landfill. And
oh God, blah, blah, blah. I heard so many stories about that movie.
Yeah, yeah,
that was really rough.
So fun. My rate for that movie sextupled because of all the reshoots and days and everything they had to do. Like, that's how bad it went.
Yes, I feel like maybe you were the one who told me about all of those reshoots because you guys had. I remember hearing about, like, a ton of reshoots. This is for Justice League, by the way. It's an Axel Braun parody, if you guys are wondering what we're talking about.
That was good, but it wasn't Axel, but there was another production person that was just terrible with the scheduling. Mm-hmm. So, and some of it was, like, they wanted me as Clark Kent to be with a full beard, like, month or two of growth doing this thing. And then for Superman, very clean cut.
Yeah.
So it's like, it was supposed to be 2 days. Day one, Clark Kent. Day two, Superman. So day one was Clark Kent. And we shot the indoor dinner scene at the landfill. First, while the two girls that are in a massive amount of weight makeup, August Ames is in like a 20-pound hair width. Sorry, like a, I think it was like 70 pounds or something, because it was like 12 feet long.
Uh-huh.
Like this wig with all the makeup and everything, just sitting outside chilling in like the 90-degree humid, because there was all these ponds and everything nearby. And just sitting there waiting for this indoor dinner scene that could have been filmed anywhere. Because they had to black out the windows.
Yeah.
Before we could shoot the outdoor farm sequence where the two girls come out of space to talk me back into being Superman.
Uh-huh.
And then the next day was this giant setup with like some of the biggest names in porn at that time. Rami Rain, Charles Dera, Xander Corvus, Charlotte Stokely, like all of us. Costumes aren't finished. People are just sitting there. Like I told him at like midnight, I was like, I'm driving to Vegas in the morning. I've got a double day with Naughty for VR for 2 days, 3 days. So I'm out at one because I need some sleep and I got to drive. And it's not cool to expect
that to happen with another person.
So it's like, unless you want to cancel, pay the two scenes I'm going to lose plus the hotel I'm going to lose and call them to be like, hey, we're sorry, we're holding him hostage.
Yeah.
I was like, but
yeah,
you can't. So,
that's the hardest thing about shooting a feature, man. It's the scheduling. I mean, I used to shoot features, we used to do index cards and write like the scenes on the index cards and the different dialogue things. And then with the actors' names, the location, and then we'd kind of arrange it like in terms of like, okay, we're at the location this day. Let's put all these index cards together. This person's available. Like it was literally like a puzzle we had to figure out. It was hard.
I mean, I did it with my camp. Yeah. Scheduling where all the boats were going, where all the kids were going.
Yeah.
I was production for Laura when she was launching men.com.
Mm-hmm.
Helping her do some of that. I'm good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, and I love those days I still love those days with Axel, and I still have fun with a lot of that stuff. It was just like, I mean, I have a string of texts that were just like, dude, this should have been kind of better scheduled with this for that, for this, for that. So part of like the rescheduling was we had to redo the whole day because we never got to the outdoor scene with the two girls and I at the farm.
Right.
Because a rave broke out at the same place for the weekend.
That's what I remember. Yeah. Yes.
So, I mean, there was that. Plus the girls were just like heat strokes sitting outside in their costumes for 8 hours waiting for everything to happen. God. So, and Jessa was the other girl, and she was taken off for England for a month to go shoot with, digital and browsers out there. So it's like, well, she's going to be gone. I have to grow out my beard because tomorrow's Superman. So that's going to take at least a month. and then when like we didn't get to my part because the Superman costume wasn't finished, we had to do a lot of tweaks to it for the big standoff sequence with Rami Rain and all those people I listed. Like when I look and I just estimate off of what little I know of people's rates, I'm like, it was a $10,000 talent scene.
Yeah. Alone. Yeah.
Not to mention location and the rest of the crew and everything. So I looked at Axel and I was like, listen, my stuff's not here. You're shooting a lot of stuff with them. I'm like, it's a standoff. Don't get the wide.
Yeah.
Just do singles.
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of a general over the shoulder
of
somebody or something. Like, you blur it so you can't tell it's not Superman.
Yeah.
But that way you don't have to worry about bringing back those six for us three.
Yeah.
To get all this going.
I did do something like that for my shoot with the Digital Playground fucking nightmare movie that I had to shoot that Netflix happened to cover that one day when we all cried at the end. Me and Jada Stevens broke down in tears at the end of the day. It was so rough. But yeah, we had to shoot, like it was a group scene and they were talking and we had to shoot like singles and we had to fake the whole thing. I mean, fucking camera magic, thank God.
I mean, it was something. I still remember getting a call from the production manager like 3 weeks later that was like, hey, so if you happen to be in town and want to swing by the Hustler studio, we're doing the superhero shots that day. And I was like, bro, I work like 15, 20 days a month out in Vegas doing all this VR stuff. I can't guarantee that I'm going to be there without pay. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And we ended up doing the whole like standoff sequence and brought in Ben Hoffman to the superhero shots. Mm-hmm. It was amazing with those. And we didn't get the wide shot, which I laughed about so hard.
So wait, they had you all there?
They brought us all back.
And then they didn't get the wide shot.
They didn't use the wide shot. So like, a couple of us were just laughing, like, I actually want that. And he was like, no, I think we're good. And it was like,
I'm like, I'm going to
fucking. Not my circus, not my monkeys. I'm just here.
I'm going to fucking kill you.
No, no. Oh, I mean, like, God. I said, they needed me there for the superhero shots. They needed me there for my side of it. It was just like the other, whatever it was, five or six of them there on the other side of that. I was kind of like, well, they got their other hero shots. So at least it's worth it for that.
But, yeah.
But it was just like.
Yeah.
All right.
So one last question for you before we wrap up. You've been a voice for the porn industry through your interviews for several mainstream publications, including GQ and Vice. What do you wish more people understood about this industry?
I wish. What I was trying to really like come across that is we're here because we want to be here. And we're successful because we take it professionally. Like, we have fun with it. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'll joke all day long about it and have fun with it. But it's so hard when so much of the mainstream stuff seems like it can only sell anything it covers on the industry as long as it looks like we're a bunch of down and out on our last strings. It was this or suicide. Almost essentially. And you can't, like, they can't depict the industry without it being a terrible thing, mm-hmm. which I know is what the majority of the public is always going to kind of look at. Like,
yeah, that's what's going to sell most headlines. Yeah, I mean, you want to cater to, yeah, it caters to the narrative that most people accept and understand.
Right. Yeah. It's like, I know that we're never going to convince the Mormons and mm-hmm. whatnot that, like, we're like, yeah, you had no problem with me for the last 3 weeks when we've been hanging out doing this. Until it's like, oh, wait, what?
Yeah.
No. Oh, you are the devil. Like, all right, cool. Do your thing. But yeah, it's like the ones I see, especially in the industry, it's like the ones that seem to be the most successful are the ones that do take it very professional and either have a very well balance between party and play. Or like work and play, or play is not really part of their vocabulary, mm-hmm. which I think is more in my own, where it's not necessarily I'm saying I'm not successful with it. I mean, I'm still here. I don't know how I'm still here, but I'm still here. but, you know, it's like I've never done coke. I don't do drugs. I've barely drank in this year at all in general, and I've never been a heavy drinker to begin with. And it's like I show up to set and I want to be camera ready at all times. I mean, I tell it to all the new people all the time, like, be camera ready at any moment because you could get that call from the company you've been trying to get in with. That's like, how soon can you get to set? We need somebody mm-hmm. now. That's how I got my foot in the door in a lot of places. So it's like, I want to be camera ready, ready to go, professional, like you said, one of those ones that's not creepy, that's not pulling some stunt where people are kind of skeezed out, don't want you there. I show up, I try to be as helpful and compliant with directors as they want, because I can't see what the camera's getting. I'm trying mm-hmm. to get it. I still don't understand half of it. It's like, we're going to go into doggy. I'm like, where do you want my head? 15 years later, I'm still like, which way am I facing for this? Because I know I'm going to get it wrong. So it's like, so a lot of us do that, and we probably are your neighbors that you don't realize that you like hanging out with and that we're good people genuinely and not what the media has to depict. So I always be very careful with my words, not to be where you can cut it out and Frankenbite it, if you will.
Yeah.
So that all of a sudden it becomes.
That is, I've had that happen to me.
Oh yeah.
Where people have like cut up what I've said and make it sound like something I never said.
It's
a struggle
all the time. I watch everybody in the industry get so excited about, oh, we just did this thing for Netflix or this thing for Hulu or this thing with this movie that they're going to produce. And it's mm-hmm. going to be all about us and it's all going to be in a good light. And like, I actually had a fight with one of the reality casting agencies when they were casting something that I think was going to be almost like an MTV True Life or something. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, posted very publicly. I was like, be very careful what you say and do with these people, because while they want it to be good, it won't sell unless they spin it to be mm-hmm. very bad.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is, it's not always like the producer, like boots on the ground person's choice. No. You know what I mean? A lot of times, like, they may be your ally. They may be on your side. They may want to cast you in a certain light. But like when it gets into the editing room and the people who are like really in charge take a hold of the footage, like they can't.
Right.
They can't do anything. Right. So it's not even like the people that you're working directly with that you have to be cautious of. It's
no.
The people higher up the chain.
Yeah. It's like if you want to, I mean, I guess almost an example using mainstream stuff. It's like if you look at Justice League versus Zack Snyder's Justice League. It's like you have what they wanted it to be and you have what they released because the production team outside of everybody that was on set and that was involved with that went, no, let's do this. Mm-hmm. And it's not what the original vision was supposed to be. And like I said, with casting, it's like, yeah, they're trying to get people and do this and they're trying to build this up. And it's almost like, almost without fail, every time I watch it, just be, it gets cut up so that we look so bad.
Yeah.
But it's what sells, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, Ryan, thank you so much for coming on. It was such a pleasure to see you again.
My pleasure, always.
Can you tell everybody where they can find you online?
I like to think I'm pretty easy. You can find me. I'm at Ryan Driller on Instagram and Twitter. And I have my links there for the OnlyFans, which is also just at Ryan Driller. My Fleshlight dildo that's up there. And
the first straight Fleshlight dildo, man.
So I was the first one with Mick and Manuel right there. I mean, we all got molded and everything at the same time. But yeah, we were all the first batch of the straight guys to get released.
Cool.
Well, they figured out, trying to figure out how to work that for us, which is funny. It's funny. I laugh.
Fantastic. And you guys can find me at Holly Randall on Instagram and on Twitter. My TikTok is still up. I don't know how long it's going to be there for. I know I say that every time, but I'm constantly like convinced I'm going to be deleted. But for now, go to Holly Randall Unfiltered on TikTok. Of course, if you want to support the show and watch these interviews live streamed, you can go to patreon.com/HollyRandallUnfiltered. Thank you guys so much for joining me, and I'll see you next week. Thank you so much for listening. If you love my show and want to support it, I ask that you take the time to rate and review my podcast. Now, if you're not sure how to do that, you can go to ratethispodcast.com/HRU, and you'll automatically be directed to the various podcast apps your device supports, and then be led to the place where you can rate my show. 5 stars, of course, and leave your glowing review. Okay, it doesn't have to be glowing, but you know, say something nice. You can also financially support this show through my Patreon by visiting patreon.com/HollyRandallUnfiltered, where you get so many perks for your support. Things such as early releases and live recordings of my interviews, merchandise such as stickers, mugs, and hoodies, autographed copies of my photography books, free access to my private Snapchat and not safe for work website, hollyrandall.com, and my bonus podcast, My LA Porn Life. Also, join my Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/HollyRandallUnfiltered, and you can watch the video versions of these interviews at youtube.com/HollyRandallUnfiltered. Oh, and of course, sign up for my newsletter at hollyrandallunfiltered.com and get all the info on upcoming guests and special projects. Again, thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for supporting my podcast in whatever way that you can.